I want us to spend one more evening on this, the spies. And we're gonna go to Numbers 13, so everybody get a big one. Numbers 13. All right, Numbers 13, and since John is the only one that can read these names, he gets to read 13, 1 through 16. Yeah. That's your punishment for being a wise ass.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Let's snip off their noses.
Good job. That's your punishment.
Wait a minute. I want to show you something. They left Egypt in, I believe it was 1453 BC. They went all this distance down here, they got the law, they went all the way up here, and they went up to Kadesh Barnea. And it was still 1453. Okay, so it was a few months later. The distance between Tabernacles, I mean, the distance between Passover and, I believe, Rosh Hashanah. I think that the spies, in spite of what Harry said the other day, I think the spies were sent out at it about the Feast of First Fruits. I mean, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And the reason they were sent in so that they could occupy the land for the Feast of Tabernacles. But you got to remember now, it was only because of their disobedience it took them so long. 40 years. Obedience would have been instant. Occupy the land. You remember we've talked about the last few nights. Go in and possess the land. Don't believe the lies anymore. That's what the theme of what we've been talking about is. Okay? So now John gets to read all the hard names.
The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur. The tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Horai. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Shephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zodi. The tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gimli. Of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi. Now that's a pet. The tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Makkah. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua.
Or Joshua, or
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a hand. So of all of those people, the only two that made it in, of all of the people that left Egypt and all the whole mess, the only people that made it in were Caleb and Joshua.
Now, did he rename Joshua here?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's talking about?
I think so.
Gave him a new name at this point?
I think so. Okay.
You don't think any of the women made it? They didn't number them very often anyway. I think it was just those two.
It could have been their families.
They made it into what?
The Promised Land. All these people, big, big, big numbers. The scriptures say 600,000 men above the age of 20, with all their families and the mixed multitudes that were with them, left Egypt. Of that number, only two made it to the promise.
Only two who had been alive when they
were. When they were, yeah.
Just a few.
And it was so
that really indicates the effect of the law, that because he promised them they'd make it. I mean, he promised all of them, didn't he?
No, but Peter promised all of them, they all of would have gotten there. He promised if they'd obey his voice and hear. Okay? Now, now you're starting to get a feel for what the fear of God means. It's called the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is always a female word in the Hebrew. The fear of God is the beginning of the bride. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Continue. Oh, you don't want to read anymore.
Not really.
Larry? Gary, I mean?
These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun. Joshua, you read that. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many.
Okay, now who are these people? The seven usurpers of the promise. The Jebusites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, etc., etc. They're they typify the seven arenas that are usurping the land in you, in your mind. And they have 10 crowns. And those 10 crowns are the 10 wisdoms, the false wisdoms of Egypt, according to the Talmud. So that's all of these things. You can multiply that, you know, in terms of an almost infinite number of numbers in the combinations between the 7 and the 10. And those are the arenas in your life, the ideas, the value systems, the seeing after the flesh that keep you from inheriting and possessing the land. Now in type we'll see that the only one to inherit, the only one to enter in was Joshua and Caleb. And that is typified what? The son and the friend, the bridegroom. Remember? When we studied the Canaanites and all that? Okay. Continue.
Just a quick question. The place in the New Testament where it's talking about Mary Magdalene, it says she had 7 unclean spirits that Jesus cast out of her. Is it, do you think that's related to?
Could very
seven?
Well be.
Listen, Rabbi.
How come he gets a blessing for asking a question? I never get blessings. I sit and talk all day and you never give me a blessing.
You never ask anybody a question.
One wimp comes along and says, he asks a question, he gets 14 blessings.
It's your attitude.
It's your fancy new shoes.
Are those new shoes?
Yes, these are what you bought me.
But they look just like the old shoes.
But they're the most comfortable shoes I've ever had.
Except for the bottom.
The
soles
are much better.
Yeah. Well, he definitely needs some work on those.
Right along. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes.
Okay, now when was the time of the first ripe grapes? The first ripe grapes were, as I haven't checked this, but I'm almost positive it was the fall.
Yeah.
When, just before, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was at the time of the grape harvest, which was the feast, right just before the Feast of Tabernacles, namely the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. I believe that's the day they went in.
Also represents the coming of Joshua and Caleb.
Right. Okay?
So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath.
That just means they're just going the whole the promise. They're looking out the promise.
That's the full distance.
Right. Well, it'll cover the full distance as they discuss it.
And they ascended by the south, came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were.
Remember Anak. Anak. Remember when we studied Anak? Anak was, the children of Anak were the giants. Those are the situations. They typify the situations that are impossible, that you can't deal with.
Hebron was built 7 years.
Well, wait a minute. Better than that, you cannot deal with after the flesh. There's all kinds of problems that you don't think you can deal with, but if you had courage, you could deal with them. But Anak represents the problems that can't be dealt with by flesh.
Even if you try.
You got that? Of course, none of you have any of those kind.
Some other group might have.
Praise the Lord.
Doug's group's got those kind. Continuing.
Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days.
Okay, now stop a minute. One cluster of grapes required two men to carry it on a stick.
Giant grapes. Mother grapes.
Okay.
And they went and came to Moses, and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them.
Okay, remember, they're in the wilderness of Paran, and they're at Kadesh. Now, Kadesh means sanctuary, and Barnea means wilderness. So it's a sanctuary in the wilderness. It's where they're being protected from the elements of the world. The world can't touch them because they're in the wilderness, but they're being tested in that wilderness.
And how long were they there for?
They were there 38 and a half, almost 39 years. Now, you got to hear this. You don't have to stay there. The cross means that you can inherit the promise at the instant of your obedience. It's tonight. You're going to enter the land tonight. You're going to possess the land. And this joker that's resurrected himself from the dead all these years, that's living the false you, has no more power. He's going to try to lie to you, but he's a lion, a roaring lion without teeth. Because the Lord of hosts is in you. Understand?
Yeah.
You're going to possess it tonight. Now feel it. See the power of God.
Yeah. Blessing on Rabbi.
John. Yeah, I'm trying to do it.
You need to wait a couple of days.
You stay here in Kadesh Barnea. Yeah, we'll go on.
Would you describe the land that we're going to possess?
It's a land where no matter what confronts you, it has no power. It's a land where you look, and wherever you look, you see Jesus. You see salvation. Wherever you look, you see the plan of God. Whoever you look at, you see the Lord of hosts. It's a land where the perspective, the feeling from your standpoint is ever and always a bubbling, a river of living water waiting for an expression, waiting that you might meet a need around you. that you might help open their eyes. It's a land where you're no more like children, tossed to and fro with every little thing you hear and every little stimulus that confronts you, but where you are anchored in permanency. It's a land where it's God's good pleasure to give you the desire of your heart freely. It's a land where you believe all things, where you hope all things, where you rejoice forevermore. It's a land where you're no longer held in bondage by the vanity of your mind. It's a land from whence you look out of and you see nothing but purity. Chenna? You were in verse
26 somewhere.
27. You just started 27.
And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it."
Okay, that's what I just told you. You understand spiritually what milk and honey is? Okay.
There might be some people who have
forgotten. Thanks, Jack. Well, I can ask you later.
Okay.
That's politics.
Doug forgot what milk and honey was.
That's the term.
I have notes about it if anybody wishes to consult me tomorrow. I know exactly where to
That's what I like. I love about notes. Yeah, I love about this group. Be instant in season and out of season as soon as you find your notes.
Yeah.
Or like Ed, he calls me and says, "What do we believe about this?"
Telephone to be
in. But he's doing that far less these days. I'm prodigal.
He's just making it up as he goes.
The best thing is instant.
Surely believe.
Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.
Okay. Do you see? Hallelujah. First the Spirit speaks, and then the Antichrist responds. You see it?
Nevertheless.
Was this their committee report?
Yeah. This is committee. Well, this is your committee report.
Yeah.
Okay, we got the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell on the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome it."
Hallelujah.
But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched for the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight."
Okay, now, the better translation of the evil report, it could be just as soon a discouraging report. But it is that which is evil, because it's that which is perceived by the senses. Therefore, it is soulish in nature. Now, all of you have had your senses exercised long enough so that you now are able to discern soul from spirit. You don't have any reason to believe this carnality any longer. Believe that which is eternally true. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the land that we describe, that's the desires of your heart, that it's here. But the evil report comes through, the Antichrist comes through and says, oh no, this is not what it is, it's what we see. I look out and I see need, I see debt, I see no power of God, I see, oh my God, I'm locked into this situation, I'm doomed. Don't believe those mothers. Ever again. Go back to what he said. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome anything. Now, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? They're just like Peter was that fateful day when he almost took 7 of the disciples with him. He said, Christ is dead, there's no hope, we'll return to our former lives, we'll go fishing. Just like you. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return unto Egypt. That's exactly what Peter did. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, just whenever you see the word Joshua, put salvation, put Jesus. No matter what you're confronted with, stand still and see the salvation of God. Stand still and see Jesus. No matter what it is, no matter what it appears to the senses, no matter how big the giant is, and Caleb will be there too. Caleb would be the one of the flesh who's the friend of the bridegroom, who's able to be the witness to see. He knows he has no inheritance because he's only the friend of the bridegroom. But he also knows intuitively that out of him shall the bride come forth. And thereby he lays down his life. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, because they were crucifying the Son of God afresh. With full sincerity. We got statistics here. This is an impossible situation. We gotta wait until we develop some ammunition. We gotta stay here a while until I work out some of these problems so that they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Better translation, the Lord is in us. Fear them not. They are bread for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So like the confrontation is what allows the life to happen.
Man,
it's like it's the only way you can have sustenance is to come against these things. And
we're not going to read the rest because every one of you aren't going to be as those that rebelled. Let me read that once again. Where it says in verse 8, this was translated from the Septuagint. Remember, so it was translated in Greek first and then into, where it says if, it was the word ice. We're going to change this if. In view of the fact that the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and he will give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Remember a long time ago when we were Passover over at John's old place and I had this feeling or sense and the Lord looked at us and I heard in my spirit and he said, I am well pleased, my beloved son is in you. Never forget that. And that's what he's saying tonight.
I love that bread part where the things that you are afraid of or think you can't overcome. That's the bread.
Man. Yeah, I heard
that too. I have a lot of bread to eat.
You'll never go hungry.
And he closed the book and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.
Ooh. Believe it or not.
You look like you've been hit with a sledgehammer, Matt.
Life has gotten, it's just gotten, you know, like, it's always, it's gotten to the point where it's like the movies, or it's like, it's that outlandish, you know. It's,
I'm glad nothing like that ever happens to me.
Yeah.
Like a B movie, right?
You know, when you're talking about the land, it's funny how you can, most of the words kind of, the land is something like you're looking out there and seeing the land, but the land is what you're responding from. You are the land.
Right.
And all those things are just your life, you know, that's coming out from you. It's not a outward perception.
Does everybody understand what I said to Matt?
I want to know what's going on with Denise. I understand it. I wish I could believe it with everything in me and be at rest about it or something. You know, it's like these things come up all the time and my response tonight was, yeah, but they're so big. They're children of Adam. You know, they're humongous. And it seems like a constant battle, you know, and
the battle is only what you believe.
And the thing that freaks me out is because I rebel. It's like I go, it's better for us to have died in the wilderness, or it's better for me to have died in the wilderness than to have to face that or to have to go through it, because,
you know. Yeah,
I'm in the back. Christ, with the news ink.
Denise, would you mind standing right there?
The promise of the new world, or the promise of the new land, is written in the blood of my cross. Come in, all is forgiven. You must know by now that you were created only to be fulfilled in my love. I am the only one who loves you enough to forget that you have sinned and grieved me and revolted against the truth all these years. I understand your sinful nature in which you fell into bondage, for I once adorned the flesh. I was made and walked among you, I know. I have faced your nightmares and your hell. I drank from the cup of your spiritual death, your total separation from God because of the filth and stench of sin and rebellion. I have felt the icy grip of death and winced in torment and sting, but I have overcome it. My love has brought forth the new creation. You enter in now. Amen. Pick up your cross and seal it for time and eternity. Show it with every drop of blood your soul can shed. Humble yourself and walk in his footsteps. Serving and not being served. Giving and not getting. Losing and not winning. Being abused and not abusing. Turning your back to the smiters and all of it saying, I love you, to a world that cannot understand. Away with the gloom and sadness. Away with the shadows of fear and doubt. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your own flesh. For the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, and great shall be that strength. You need never again fear the faces of men nor their power. For greater is my love and my power and my soundness. Behold, I have overcome all things. Now rest in my peace and in the arms of my love. I look forward to seeing you soon face to face. This is the joy that is set before you. And in a little while, a very little while, it shall be brought to pass.
Scare yourself?
Yeah.
There's something I wish you'd spend a minute or two on, and it is that I sense that, I know that I sense that we all have images of what the promised land looks like, what a land that flows with milk and honey looks like. I mean, you say we're there now, but that image screams no, the senses scream no. And you joked about what the milk and honey means, but I wish you'd talk about.
It's when that which is the most precious thing on the face of the earth is worthy of no more than dust to be paved. It's when milk and honey are just metaphors for sustenance and sweetness or goodness or wonderfulness.
What we talked about before was that the milk is, it's a land of revelation. As you said, wherever you look, you see the plan of God. Whoever you look at, you see Jesus Christ. And that is sweet to the senses. It's a sweet experience. Right. So it doesn't, I mean, it may look like Dallas, Texas, with unemployment. Who knows what else?
It may look like Calcutta.
But it's simply a question of seeing.
Amen.
I was thinking that because none of us really know or have dug deep enough to see what our real desires are, you know, the desires of our heart. You know, it's like if you knew that, then you would instantly see them fulfilled, but, you know, it's all the things that we kind of obscure those desires.
Amen.
We think or did what we want.
In a strange way, the two members of the body that are one individual, one family, that are having job problems are both related to Anik. You know, Rick needs this career to give him worth, and you need the approval to give you worth. And as from the Lord, you don't need that approval of men any longer.
Yeah,
and enter that promise and possess it tonight, that you not be bound by that lie anymore from this day forth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I realized tonight that I was in bondage to something that... I guess it wouldn't appear that way to me if...
It's like when I had the most apprehension about saying something, it's my big clue that I should say it. But, you know, it's I've been covering because, you know, I've had all this apprehension about being married. And
it's all your stuff.
And John's words keep ringing in my ears, you know, if you have doubts, don't get married and everything. And so it's like, I don't want to say that word because I want to get married. And I'm afraid if I say I have doubts, you know, the marriage is, it's off. And, yeah, I want it, you know, I want it on. I want the marriage on to happen. And it's like this, there's something going on inside of me that's saying, you know, you don't, or you have doubts. It's like the word doubts, it's like my mind was like, don't speak the word doubt because it won't happen.
Yeah, say weird.
And I just wanted to speak that something's... What?
Fear.
Fear. Yeah, and fear. There's
fear is not doubt. I think what I was saying that night was, if you don't want to get married, then don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna have all kinds of thoughts about it.
Yeah.
But you know, don't let anything make you think you ought to get married. You have to get married. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I was scared about getting married too, but I knew I wanted to get married. But there was all kinds of doubts about it because I'd just been through a crazy marriage and I didn't want to even go through the ceremony. I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think it's not weird.
I wanted to get married.
Well, again, whether it's you or Jackie or anybody else, you see the double bind that the Antichrist puts on us?
Hey, yeah. What do you mean?
Well, we say, okay, I want to get married, but I'm afraid. And so therefore, I have a doubt. Therefore, if I speak the doubt, then I won't get married, and I won't get what I want. And therefore, I better not say anything. But if I don't say anything, then I'm condemned. And, oh, shit.
So you're really...
You actually followed all that, didn't you?
It's, yeah.
Didn't act like I was.
You wouldn't want to marry that.
But again, the prophecy aspect is that your only job is to bubble forth. Both of you have been bought with a price. Just let it all hang out.
Okay. That's the process of getting ready to be married. Is
I guess so.
Because otherwise you're dirty when you get married. You're just filled.
What I liked was when you said you have to be somebody that you want for yourself in order to be somebody that somebody else is going to want. I don't know exactly how you put it.
How can I be right for me if I'm not right? How can I be right for someone else if I'm not right for me?
Yeah.
Now love yourself.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Forgive yourself. But more important, right now, accept yourself.
That's even harder. Because if you know me, like, I know me.
I know you pretty well.
He knows you better than you know. Yeah, I was thinking that tonight. You know? It's like, on and off, I thought, you know, how can he sit in the chair and do the high place thing with somebody? How can he do this? How can he do that? And it's, you know, if I'm thinking only Anthony and I'm looking at the man and, you know, there's just no way that anybody in of himself can see these things and do these things
now, the possibility of God.
Yeah, hell yeah.
you know, trust me. Love yourself. That's the word for you. All the other stuff is connected with that.
Yeah. And I've just been the fullness of the realization that my mind is lying to me is coming. And it's
the same sense.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah. Okay, now blow your mind and
blow my nose.
Let it go.
You already blow your nose. You blow your mind.
Anybody have anything else?
Just one thing. I mean, thinking about this, all the stuff we're talking about, especially, you know, what Gary was saying about having to do something. I was talking to Josanna the other night, and you probably even said this, but the idea that the difference, the essence of Satan was, no, I know, shut up. The essence of Satan was there in Isaiah 14 where he said, I will, and the essence of God is where he said, I am.
Man.
You know, and it's like, the being and the doing, the contrast.
Amen.
tonight I was driving home from school, and I don't know what made me think of it. I was thinking about God, you know, doing evil and good, and that the ferocity in that, you know, it's just that he does everything. You know, it's not like there's some bad guys over here, you know, doing the bad, but God's doing all, he's doing everything. And that really blew me away.
Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto them that are without, all things are just mysterious parables. Now that mystery of the kingdom of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In every arena, in every circumstance, it's Christ living himself fully and totally as you. Rest. Have fun. Take a big guy again.